139. Psalm. Psalm. Preaching. Bless the Lord. I'm so thankful for this psalm, and I think you will be even more so. I heard it spoke on a lot, but this week the Lord has brought something to my attention I want to share with you. Next week I'm going to share my testimony with you. I shared it at Linton this morning. It's just something I can't do back to back. So I'll be sharing that with you next week. Okay? The testimony of how I got saved. I have a lot of testimonies. If your testimony isn't current, get it up to date. God should be doing something for you right now. You should have experienced some God today already, as you might say. I heard one guy say it like this: I love me some Jesus. I like that. I don't know about y'all, but if I don't wake up with Jesus, I just ain't woke up yet. And so hopefully your testimony's up to date, but it's the story of my conversion several years ago. And I'll be sharing that next week, Lord willing. We turn to Psalm 139. And we're going to read the first three verses. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Psalmist says God is acquainted with all of our ways. Even the ones we don't want Him to be acquainted with, He's acquainted with. And that, as we move through this psalm, we're going to see that God has a specific intention and a desire for us that He wants to show us. And really, when you break it down, I can break it down into two sentences, but it's going to take me about 15 minutes to get those two sentences to you. But it's very simple. Very, very simple. And when you think about it, and you apply these two sentences and principles to your life, things begin to change. Life starts to open up in ways you may not have thought of before. Before we go there, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Your truths are so wonderful. Your glory is so great. And yet You've chosen to share it with us. For who are we that You would consider us, or that You would even know our name? But You desire us to be in fellowship with You. So Heavenly Father, as this word that You have for us comes forth, may it be Your word and our message that we need to hear. Heavenly Father, I ask this, that the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, and the thoughts in our minds would be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. Now the psalm David talks about here is a very powerful one. It talks about that he was knitted together in his mother's womb. And then he talks about places where God is and he can't hide from God. Here's one of them. He says, where should I go from Your Spirit? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yes, the darkness hides not from Thee, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. Now what it's talking about, and I hope you don't miss this, is it sounds like he's talking about the omnipresence of God. But he's not. He's not saying that God was already there. Although God may have been there already, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about wherever I should go, in all of creation, God is aware of it. More than that, because he's talking about an intimate relationship here. Okay? This is not something where he's afraid because God is there, but comforted. He finds comfort in being known. There is great comfort in true intimacy. How would you like to be in a relationship with somebody who you don't know? Or you wake up one day and you realize you never knew that person. Or they do something, you say, I never knew you. That's not a relationship, is it? All of a sudden, there's no comfort. But if you're intimate with someone with true intimacy, then you say, that person knows me. All about me that they can know. And I know all about them that I can know. And there's comfort there. It makes sense. It feels good. Because you're understood and loved. And this is what David is talking about in this psalm. He's saying, well, if I go hide... He's not saying if I go hide in the depths of the sea. He's saying, if I go there, you're there too. He's talking about walking everywhere with God. I like how... I don't know if you've ever understood this principle or not, but I used to teach the class at the rehab, and we talked about how some people are thermometers. You don't know what a thermometer is? A thermometer is someone who reacts to everything around them. If everybody's mad, they're mad too. If it's cold outside, they're cold too. If everybody's happy, they're happy. Their environment dictates their mood. External events run their happiness, if you will. They're just fluctuating. You know the kind I'm talking about, don't you? They're just happy over here one moment and sad over here. And I'm not talking about folks with mental disorders. I'm talking about folks that just up and down all the time. If you're happy, they're happy. And if you're sad, they'll come cry with you. And they'll be truly sad because they don't have a regulator on that that keeps them even. The problem with thermometer type people is that if they don't want to be upset and everybody's upset, they're upset. If they don't want to be sad and everybody's sad, they're sad. Because they're just reacting to their environment. And they don't like that. Now, I wouldn't say it's that sensitive of a thermometer, but there are some people who are. But wouldn't you rather be a thermostat? That you regulate your own internal temperature no matter the external environment? That you run your own home, if you will. That you're responsible for your own mood, attitude, and level of comfort. I heard one person say this, I don't care what you're going through, it's not my crisis. One of my favorite ones is, just because you have a crisis doesn't mean I'm going to help you. Ever seen that one? It says something like that. Just because your bad planning created a crisis doesn't mean it's our emergency too. I used to hate that. If I got a crisis, everybody ought to be in crisis. Everybody ought to help me. Right? No? Oughtn't they? If I'm having a problem, you should help me fix it. If I'm confused, you should help me get the answer. Because after all, I'm confused and I don't want to be confused, so you should help me. Well, that's the kind of thermometer people they are. But a person who's a thermostat says, listen, although you're all anxious about something, I'm not buying into your anxiety. And why not? Because they have something inside that says external things are external, but But inside, I have something that gives me joy, peace, and is non-negotiable. And you will not take that from me. David says it like this. Wherever I go, there God is. And you can tell me God isn't in the depths of hell and in the bottom of the sea and in heaven, but He is. And no matter what you try to tell me about God, whether He exists or not, I know He does. I know people who would argue both sides of an argument. It depended on who was in the room. Someone was mad about something. I'm so mad about this. And then that person jumped up and said, I'm mad about it too. That person left. And someone came and said the opposite thing. And they said, I'm so mad about this. That person said, I understand your point. Now I'm mad about that. Conflicting. No stability. No balance. David, and we're talking about what David talks about is God knows us. We're so afraid sometimes to commit to something because we don't want to offend anybody that we never do anything. And that's scary. Imagine, if you will, that the church was so afraid to offend people that they let people who were running things run this country into the ground. Without any say-so. Just watch it. Just watch, say for example, the Communistic Party or the Nazis or the Socialists or... I'm not trying to offend anybody who is that. If you are a Nazi or a Communist, please understand I'm not trying to offend you. But what I'm trying to say is, if that is something that is offensive to you and you say, well, you know, I don't want to offend them. The United Methodist Church had some problems for a while with that and some issues. They finally took a stand at the annual conference here in Kentucky this year, and people stood up and cheered. Finally, someone had grown some backbone in the United Methodist Church, and I was one of them going, it's about time. I'm glad to be here. But when people lose their understanding of who they are, their understanding of what really matters to them, they become lifeless. They wander around and not sure where to go. They just respond with the flow. Well, we don't want to let society think we don't love them, so we're going to let everybody run over us. Scripture doesn't say that, does it? Scripture says that you're gentle as dove, but sharp. Sharp in your intellect. You don't let people run over you. Now here's what David talks about. He says, if I go to the very depths of my despair, if I'm in darkness, and I think his darkness is his depression, because David had some trouble with that. But even if it's the night, which I know that David wasn't afraid of the dark, but his darkness in life, and each of us experience that differently. But David said, even if I'm in darkness, God knows me there. He says, even my darkness, even the depths of my darkness is light to Him. Even the very pits of my fear, the depths, He's with me. And here's what I want to tell you. If you're a thermostat, you have something inside you that regulates your environment. You walk into the room and people get calmer. Before I was saved, I was one of those folks who was scared of everything. Anxiety, bad. And I'd walk into a room, people get nervous. You don't know anybody like that, do you? They just get nervous, like, what's he going to do? You know, just, I don't know why, but people used to look at me like, out of the corner of their eye, trying to figure out what I was going to get into next. But after I got saved, I was calm. And now when people get around me, they feel calm. I don't know where that comes from except for from God. And He does that. Because I'm not afraid of anything anymore. I don't have anxiety. I don't worry about anything anymore because I know who has control. But if you don't have that, then someone says, oh, guess what? And they get all excited like, I'll tell you how this works. I got this from my mother. She taught me to be anxious. Yeah, I can tell you how. My nephew and I, and this is terrible, don't ever do this to your family or friends or anybody else. But my mother is an extremely anxious person when she's running late. My nephew and I and she went Christmas shopping a half an hour before the store was going to close. And she got in a tizzy. I got to get everything. I got to get it all together. And we knew she was anxious. And we would come up with her with a roll of tape and go, "Mom!" And she'd go, "What?" And I said, "I found a roll of tape." She'd go, "Get out of here." And then my nephew would come up a minute later, "Grandma!" And she'd go, "What?" He'd say, "Do you need wrapping paper? It's an aisle four." And she'd go, "Ugh!" And she'd get more anxious because we were doing that. But anything, just as long as the tone was excited, she'd get more panicky. Just as long as we said, "Oh no," she'd go, "What? Oh, I thought there was a crack there, but it wasn't, never mind." And she'd go, "Will you guys stop it?" Because she couldn't stop it herself. You don't know anybody like that, do you? But it works all the time with her. She does it to herself. When David talks about us being regulated, he talks about that we have a central point in us that does not change. That we know when something is on with it, and when it's too hot or too cold, and we say, "This isn't right." Scripture is a good thermostat. When something doesn't agree with it, we say, "That's either too far this way or too far that way. It's either too unholy or it's too far to the extreme." We always know if we know who we are. And here's David saying, "Wherever I go, I know God's there. And He knows me. And He knows who I am. He knitted me together in my mother's womb." I heard news this week. I don't know if this is late-breaking scientific news, but scientists do not know how bones are formed in us. They have not figured it out. Someone said they heard that on one of the news stations this week. They don't know. God did it. God knows how it's done, how bones are formed when we're, you know, in the womb. And it says God knitted them together. He put them together. Scientists can't figure it out. And if you listen to what David's saying, I hope you understand this. That what he says, I love God so much and He loves me so much that He'll never leave me alone. I'll never have a darkness He can't comprehend. I'll never have a depth so low that I can't find Him there. Or a high so high that He doesn't embrace me there and keep me there too. That wherever I go, God is there. And here's how I told that class. You know, when I walked in this room, God was here. And they said, "How did you know?" I said, "I brought Him with me." You think about that. If God is there, you ought to have brought Him with you, right? I was in a crowded restaurant one time, Columbus, Mississippi, first month I was there. And I sat down, having a cup of coffee and a nice meal. And I saw some people there, and all of a sudden I struck up a conversation. And I said, "You know, isn't it awesome to be here?" And they said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, God's here." And they said, "What?" I said, "Don't you feel God here?" And they looked, it's a restaurant! They thought I was crazy, and I said, "Oh, well, maybe you're looking at the dishes and the food, but God is here. I got Him inside. And I know wherever God is, miracles can happen. And so people's lives can transform even in this restaurant." And that person looked at me like I just shot. And I said, "As a matter of fact, I think God wants to do something for you right now. If there's anything God could do for you right now, what would it be?" And instead of saying, "Get you out of my face," they said, "If God would really show me He loves me." And I said, "I just came here because He told me to tell you He's here for you." And broke the ice, and I led that young lady to Christ in a restaurant. God doesn't know limits. We do. God knows how we're made. He knows how you're made. And at the right moment when you need something, He's right there. He's always there. And it's something so simple as that God is everywhere you are when you belong to Him. It's not He's omnipresent, it's He's ever present. God doesn't dwell in a pew or a pew pad. He dwells in our hearts. Scripture tells us that's where He dwells. So if you go, you, be filled with God, go to the depths of hell, is God there? Yes, because He's in you. If you're in the darkness and you feel all alone, is God gone? No, He's still in you, isn't He? No matter how lousy you feel or how sick you feel, God still knows about it and He's loving you there. And this is why what David says at the end of that chapter, he used to say, why is that there? It doesn't make any sense. But it does when you understand these two sentences I'm about to share with you. He says at the end, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's what he says after saying, God, you're everywhere. And what he's saying is, God, you know me. Search my heart. I want me to be the way you want me to be. You formed me in the womb. You're with me in the darkness. You can mold me to be the person you've created me to be. So search me and make me that way. I can't do it. I didn't make me. All of a sudden, what you hear then is that David refers to this, that God is in the created thing. He's in the water, which gives life. He's in the depths of hell, which is where we fear death. He's in the darkness, which is where we fear the unknown. He's in the high heavens, where we see the majesty of God. He's everywhere. And He's trying to make His presence known to us, that He can be with us and will take us to the place He wants us to be if we'll let Him. God's trying to mold us to something that we're not able to be without Him. Without Him, we're a thermometer. This world will run us up and down. We'll be like them oil people, you know. There's a crosswind blowing in Egypt. They'll raise the gas and oil prices, it seems like, because they're afraid it might cause a riot. That's a thermometer. But if it's a thermostat, they say we have an everlasting God who keeps me safe. Who can keep my husband safe? Who can keep my children safe? Who's with them everywhere they go? Who loves them better than I could possibly love them? And I love them a lot. And so when I read through this psalm now, I don't read, God is watching me. You know what I mean? To see if I'm doing something wrong. But I hear, God is with me. So I have nothing to fear. I have no place to go that God isn't already aware of it because He's with me. I like being with God. It feels really good. And you know what? That's something that regulates your world, your life. Jesus even says, I am the light of the world. And when I shine, the darkness cannot stop it. What are the two sentences? God is ever present. That's the first one. And the second one, God is revealed to you in creation. You can see Him in the creation. Psalmist says in Psalm, I think it's 8, the beauty of the Lord is seen in His creation. You will see Him everywhere you go. And guess what? You are God's creation. So God is seen in you too. You are a vessel of His. He's pleased to dwell there. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that there's not a part of us that You don't know about. Even when we're ashamed of it, or we're proud of it, whatever it might be, You're aware of it already. Heavenly Father, Your mercy is so wonderful and Your truths are so great. I ask now that You would let us know that You are even here at Bethel with us. And that even when we fret and fear over reports of bad health or friends suffering from a disease, that You are already there and You know and we can trust You. Heavenly Father, rekindle that trust in us where it's grown a little dim, that we might say to whatever comes against us, God is here and You can't win because my God is bigger than You. Heavenly Father, thank You for that confidence in Jesus Christ. Amen. Number 131 in the Brown Book.